Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get up to speed now with everything Brewers.
This is Hot Stove Weekly, presented by Milwaukee Admirals Hockey. Now, here's the franchise, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid on The Fan.
And welcome in, Brewers fans. It is another edition of Hot Stove Weekly presented by Milwaukee Admirals Hockey. Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, and all hell breaking loose in Milwaukee here. More on the Jason Kidd firing later on tonight on the Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. That's going to be interesting. Sparky back in the chair.
There's going to be a lot of talk about that, man.
Yeah.
You made some friends.
They get ready to take on the Phoenix Suns tonight, and should be a great show tonight. Sparky breaking down the Bucks head coach firing again of Jason Kidd today. Wow, that's a little bit surprising. We are here for the next little bit less than an hour to talk some Brewers baseball for you as we head toward the On Deck event coming up. Is that this Sunday already?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep, I'm already in trouble.
You are.
Yeah, I'm in trouble for making sure that I'm there.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Well, we have to be there.
You think Josh will understand my situation?
I think he will. And let's talk with the Brewers left-hander Josh Hader as we hit him up on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Josh, Tim, and Billy here. What's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing okay. Where are you at right now? I'm sure it's warmer than it is and has been around here.
Yeah, I'm on a golf course right now.
That's what I like to hear.
Awesome.
With my boys.
With your boys?
Yep.
Not
JJ, Taylor, and Aaron.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. I talked to David Stearns, the general manager of your team here, about a week ago, and he dropped a little bit of a bombshell on me, Josh. I got to ask you. And we've talked about it before, starting and or relieving, and he said it's possible that you could do both this year. Is that true?
I mean, as far as I know, I'm going to be doing some pitching. You know, not really sure. They say we can get out extended, multiple innings and stuff like that, so we'll see how the season goes.
But I know in talking with you beforehand, you'd probably want to start if you had your choice, right? But you're just so outstanding in the bullpen, though, but your choice would be starting.
Yeah, like I said before, man, I just want to stay in the big leagues and pitch as long as I can. That's the main focus, and you know, whatever way that's starting or relieving, I'm all in for it.
It's a good attitude.
Now there's got to be some kind of changes in how you're going to prepare for a season, knowing that you're going to be going out there, you know, 33 times, throwing hopefully 6 or 7 innings where you could be doing pitching in you know, 75 to 80 games as a reliever. When did you start your throwing plan?
December? So I've been throwing quite a long time now, and everything's feeling good. You know, really not too much has changed throwing program-wise. It's more so the workouts, adding more explosive stuff in there and, you know, really getting that heart rate up and, you know, kind of simulating coming to a game, you know, late and, you know, just being worn out.
Yeah, the numbers look good and you know, the results were there for you out of the pen. And really, bullpens in baseball, Josh, as you know, they're becoming big time. And you can be a big superstar. You don't have to be a starter anymore to be a superstar out of the pen. What's the next step for you? If indeed it is out of the bullpen, what might be the next step? Closer role, a setup guy? I know you're going to tell me you want to get outs. I get it. But what's the next step for you internally?
Really, it's just more consistency on my pitching mechanics, you know, pitching in the zone and out of the zone effectively and, you know, really just not trying to get behind too many hitters. you know, like I said, you know, I'm going to be doing multiple innings, you know, short innings. So, really, you know, just being able to go out every day and, you know, be consistent as I can be.
So, Josh, when we look into spring training here, you guys are going to be reporting here within a month. And you guys are going through some stuff in that rotation, not knowing exactly when Jimmy's going to be back. Just how important is it for every single guy to know later on in the season last year, there were times when and Craig came out and said, this is going to be a bullpen day. We're going to have to work through, and there's going to be having to be a lot of guys getting outs for us. Does that build a little bit more camaraderie out there in the bullpen where there's a couple of days where, you know, you're looking at all the guys down the line there and saying, man, we might all be in this game, and this might be the only way that we're going to get a win?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, that's how the bullpen's coming along nowadays is, you know, everybody has a part in the game, and, you know, if needed be, you know, all the guys in the bullpen can, you know, scrap together a good win.
Last year, there were some moments that you had that were just amazing. There were some learning moments, as you know. I mean, you know, no one expected you to come out and just throw goose eggs every time out. So it was surprising to us when someone hits a tater off you. But do you have a highlight from last year, Josh, that you look back on and say, man, this is the moment I arrived?
Well, besides being interviewed by Tim and myself.
Yeah, besides that.
Yeah, no, I really just say the whole season, you know, everything, you know, meeting all these new guys that we had. You know, really picking their brains and really just, you know, having fun. You know, it was a good experience. You know, getting caught up, it was, you know, something that you don't dream of. And, you know, being able to live that out and, you know, the season that we had as a team, you know, falling just one game short, you know, there's no better feeling than that. You know, just being in that competition role all the time.
Yeah, and we can't wait for this season, man. You take the next step. But You don't look back at, you know, Bryce Harper at bat or the one against L.A. or any one stand out for you? I know the one in Tampa doesn't. That much I do know.
Had to bring that up.
Sorry.
No, it's all good. I'd have to say, I mean, if anything, it'd probably be New York. You know, that was one of my longest, you know, innings pitched, and being able to pick that win up was, it was very nice, you know, so. Like I said, though, the whole season was a great season, and, you know, just hope to continue it forward and, you know, see where we can go with the team and, you know, make the playoffs this year.
All right. So last week we talked with, well, the last two shows, last Monday and the Monday before, we talked with your roommates. And we're gonna play you a little piece of what we had asked them. And we asked them, the roommates that you had, Brinson Phillips and you, man, I want to see a baseball. Is there a baseball card, Future Stars, out there that has Brinson Phillips and you on it? Because if there is one, I want that card. I definitely do. That card's going
to
be worth a lot of cash. But we asked them.
I have to call it the roommate card.
There you go. All right, so we asked, who is the messiest within that apartment in Colorado Springs? And Brett Phillips, we'll start with him. He had this to say about that roommate situation.
We were all pretty clean. We respected each other's space. That's big. And there's no excuse. We're all grown men. So just take care of our space and respect each other. And it worked out great.
Okay. So that wasn't too bad. He said he didn't throw you under the bus, Josh.
So what are you saying? Brinson did?
Well, let's
see. I like he knows the foreshadowing.
Yes, that's right. Now we get to Lewis Brinson here, and he told us this about the cleanliness of that apartment.
I think we're all a little bit equal. I don't think anybody's like more messy than the other. I think Josh is a little bit more clean than me and Brett. You know, when it comes to like the kitchen and stuff, I like the trash to be taken out. I don't want the smell in there. You know, but there was a lot of Papa John's, there was a lot of video games by those guys. They like playing video games, but I can't say anybody's room was, you know, more messy than the other. I don't want to hint it to anybody, but you know, the guy with the weird laugh kind of has a weird room too.
So were those two comments, were those accurate?
Yeah, they're pretty accurate. I'd have to say the same thing myself.
You guys are wait seat. Now, I would have been throwing my roommates under the bus, man. I would have said that.
Yeah, but you're down to throw anybody out.
That guy's a freaking slob. That guy doesn't clean up. He doesn't rinse his dishes. So that is.
Yeah, we're all pretty good. Yeah, it was, I guess, you know, being in the minor leagues a lot, you kind of live on your own. So you either got to clean up after yourself or you're going to have a dirty house.
So you have yet to get a suite in your contract. Who's your roommate on the road in the bigs?
We got my best friend. He doesn't really show up too often, but he's normally by himself. But this year, I think Philly's going to be the guy for sure.
Who is?
Phillips.
Oh, okay, he is. Yeah. Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean... Shoot, you guys. Oh, who's yelling at you?
Well, somebody just hit a hole-in-one, I think, is what the issue was.
Yeah, they almost hit it in.
So what are you shooting right now? What hole are you guys sitting on?
We're sitting on, what is it, 15?
And what are you
right
sitting
over? Playing.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, what were you sitting over par? But I didn't know if you were scratch or if you were hanging in with the big boys on the golf course.
I'm subpar.
Okay. All right. So Philip said we're going out to Olive Garden in Arizona, and I asked for a couple of beers. He said no way. He'd do a glass of wine.
He thinks we're a little bit too wild for him.
Yeah. Brinson said he'd come along with, and so that leaves the third of the three amigos here. Are you with us?
Hey, as long as I have breadsticks and salad, I'm all in.
That's exactly what I said, wasn't that? I said, never-ending possible. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, Josh, get back to your golf game, man, and we appreciate the time. We'll see you on Sunday at the On Deck event and then certainly in Arizona, man. But we're looking forward to seeing you progress here as a big league baseball player, all right?
Oh, yeah. Excited for this weekend, and I hope to see all the Brewers fans out there and see you guys and – you guys take it easy, and thanks for having me on.
All right, there
thanks,
he is.
Man, appreciate it.
Josh Hader joining us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. So he's in, but he's more in for the food.
That's the only reason I'm going, right?
Well, look at you.
Great Midwest Bank committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. They do not have never-ending salad and breadsticks.
No, not yet, at least. Not yet. I will say this, that there was a little earthquake that happened last night in Brewerland.
Yeah, and
my phone was blowing up last night.
Partially because of me and one mess up that I had.
But reportedly, there is an offer on the table for one of the frontline starting free agent pitchers in baseball. If you haven't heard, we'll talk about that next. Also, Adam McAlvey joins us in a few minutes as well. Stick around. It's Hot Stove Weekly, presented by Milwaukee Admirals Hockey here on The Fan.
Celebrating 13 years of Brewers coverage, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid, keeping you warm with baseball conversation on Hot Stove Weekly, on The Fan.
You know, some of them have been maybe overly exaggerated in the press, and then there are some things we're working on that haven't been discussed publicly at all. So we'll keep you guys guessing for a little while longer, but we're certainly working on things And it would. I'll say this: it would not surprise me if we make a substantive move between now and spring training.
As General Manager David Stearns says, he appeared on the Big Show last week. Welcome back! It's Hot Stove Weekly, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, and it's Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt. Cannot wait for Brewers baseball, man!
We got
our first taste this Sunday.
I busted out the shorts today simply because we were doing this show.
There you go.
And we're now within a month. So when players report, they're going to report on Valentine's Day. I can't think their significant others are too happy about that.
No.
But they are probably happy because they're going to go bring in some bacon out at spring training.
They are.
So I think they'll forgive them for missing that holiday. But, dude, now it's the 22nd. Tomorrow, we will be 31 days away from boarding our plane to go to Arizona.
That's right. Can't wait.
31 days.
We'll be doing live broadcasts from Arizona.
Start losing some weight.
From Maryvale Baseball Park and talking some Brewers baseball. And by the way, a programming note here, the latest version of the Tim and Tausch in the Morning podcast has been in the tank now.
Mm-hmm.
And
ready
that's coming up Thursday morning. There was some rumor, erroneous report out there saying they canceled this podcast. This is not true.
Nice try.
Good
effort, pal.
Kind of funny.
Yeah, though. It is. But it's one of those, you pat him on the back. Nice try, man. Yeah. That was cute.
You got to come with something better.
You're going to have to wake up a little bit earlier than the 5:30 that you do.
Adam McAlvey will join us in a couple of minutes. So last night, watching the football games, and my phone starts blowing up. And those of you that listen to the podcast, you know my phone, I don't know, habits. If I don't want to talk, I just don't answer.
Yeah, you just don't answer.
I don't care who it is. I'm busy. Okay, but a guy we're going to Vegas with had texted me, and, hey, did you see that you had texted me? And then the home phone rings, and reports out from Krasnick, Rosenthal, been, I guess, confirmed, right, that an offer has been made to Hugh Darvish?
Mm-hmm. Confirm that they've made the offer to Darvish. Nobody knows the years, the length, the money.
Nope.
But then right away, one thing that Hugh Darvish has been doing during this entire free agency period, whenever there's a report out with his name in it, he goes and searches on Twitter for his name. Then when somebody talks about him and reports something, he'll either confirm or deny it right off the bat. And in his language, there's different fonts and stuff that he was using. Confirmed that, yes, the Brewers were indeed offering something to him.
I wonder.
There was a report now today, though, that at least one offer that he has is a 5-year contract.
I'm wondering if it's... Now, if you look back at Brewers' history here, and I don't know if there's a connection here at all or not. I'm just saying what the pattern was back to CC Sabathia and back to Prince Fielder. I understand there were similar deals, $20 million a year for 4 or 5 years. So somewhere in the 100, 120 range.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what this was? But at that time, I think both Sparky and I both agreed on this, knowing full well that the players, both Prince and CC, were not going to accept that offer. But they just threw it out there as sort of, hey, we're yeoman's effort here.
Right, yeah, we're going to do what we can.
I hope that's not the case here. And I also hope that, maybe it's David Stearns wanting in early on this free agency thing. I think I read a piece the other day that said out of Keith Law's top 50 free agents this year, this offseason, 30 are still unsigned.
And there has not been one contract in free agency besides Justin Upton getting re-upped and restructuring with the LA Angels of a free agent signing a contract that's over three years.
Right.
So they are wide open.
So maybe it's Stearns wanting to get in early, and maybe there's a panic on Darvish's side to say, hey, man, we should take this. We don't know where the market's going to go. I don't know. But I will say this, that for those that have this philosophy that, oh, they don't need Darvish right now, what do you mean? I don't understand that. I don't get that. Oh, do you remember Jeff Supon? This isn't Jeff Supon.
I've had arguments with how many different people, especially about Jake Arrieta, because I'm not as sold on Darvish as I am on Arrieta,
which
is a lot of people are the reverse. A lot of people think that Arrieta might have caught lightning in a bottle and that's where he won his 20 games in his Cy Young. These two guys are closer to a Zach Greinke pickup than they are a Randy Wolf.
Much, much closer.
Or a Matt Garza.
Yeah,
you can't compare those kinds of guys.
No, and if you say you don't want Darvish or Arrieta, then what you're also saying is that, number one, the Brewers can't afford it. They don't have the money. They have the flexibility here. Their payroll is going to be probably 60-odd million.
Mm-hmm.
Or number two, that you have 5 starters better than Arrieta, Lance Lynn, or Darvish, or some of these other guys. You don't have 5 starters better than those guys. When you do... then I'll say no to Arrieta, but you don't. Think about it. You have Zach Davies, you have Chase Anderson, you have Jimmy Nelson, you have Brandon Woodruff, you have Jolys Chacin. Everyone flows down one mark. If you do sign a Darvish, everyone flows down one spot. Put him in any order you want. I shouldn't have said flows down. One guy is out.
Yeah, one guy gets bumped.
That's what you want here. That's what you want to add in a guy who, I've never been a big fan of, you have to have a bona fide ace. I don't know about that, man. If you get five twos, that's a tough series.
It's the same argument in football where people say if to win a Super Bowl, you have to have a top-notch quarterback. You don't need to. You need to have 25 guys that equal out to be one of the better teams in the game.
But you don't have five starting pitchers that are better than Darvish. You don't. Wish you did.
Now, I will argue that you have one guy that, if he would get bumped out for Darvish, could be better than you, Darvish. I think Brandon Woodruff is on a trajectory to be one of those top guys in the league.
Love him.
So that would be the only hesitation I would have with making the move.
He might be the bump guy.
He might be the guy that gets bumped. And if that's the case, he's probably going to go back down to AAA, where he's not helping you at the major league level at all.
Yeah. So the Darvish thing is very interesting. You just heard David Stearns talk about it. Wouldn't surprise him if they substantive move.
Now, it also...
Would it surprise... They're going to do something soon.
They're going to do something. And would it surprise you if it's not a pitcher?
That would surprise me. Now, you were duped last night.
I was... Yeah. Yep. Got me. A fake PR account of the New York Yankees that had a move. I went right through the timeline instead of looking first at the followers and realizing that this account had six followers. I read through all the tweets. And I was like, man, these are their actual moves. These are the moves they made. And it said, the Brewers have traded Travis Shaw to the New York Yankees today for Jacoby Ellsbury and a minor league right-handed pitcher. I texted you and I said, dude, what on earth is happening?
I didn't
use that kind of language.
Were there cash considerations?
those were also involved. It was one of those player to be named laters as well.
That would be shocking.
And dude, he just told us that he thought Travis Shaw was going to be a Brewer for a long time.
Which is what I've been saying for a while.
So, once again, as you'll hear on the podcast this week, I'm eating a lot of blame.
Did you react to that Shaw thing?
No, I just tweeted out something about all these Brewer rumors, because it was at the same time the Yu Darvish thing started.
Yes.
That they were all making my stomach turn while I was watching the game, and I couldn't even enjoy the Vikings getting blown out in the NFC Championship game because I was so frustrated and worried that Travis Shaw was going to be on the move.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it appears that there's some kindling getting started.
I'm still not sold that they think this lineup is what they want to go with.
Offensively.
Still think they make a move at second base.
All right, we'll chat more with Adam McAlvey, our insider. He will join us next year. Another edition of Hot Stove Weekly presented by the Milwaukee Admirals here on The Fan.
Are the Brewers rebuilding, or are they competing for a playoff drive? We're talking about it on Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Hot Stove Weekly presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. And you can check out Bill Baby Tau Schmid, entertainment host at Admirals Games.
Saturday night.
This
is a big one. Yep.
Okay. Two-man advantage promotion still going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure is. Actually, this Saturday night, the night before Brewers on Deck, you're going to get yourself a Brewers Admirals Trapper hat. You ever seen one of those? It's one of those like big furry things. It's got the two ear flaps on it. One side has an Admirals logo. One side has a Brewers logo. So it should be a good one.
A guy that'll be running around the on-deck event joins us right now in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He is our insider, Adam McAlvey, from Brewers.com, MLB.com. And nothing to report today. Adam, how are you?
Hey, good. Yeah. I'm on MLB Pipeline. Second base rankings came out, and the Brewers had two guys up there, and here in Eusen Diaz, so there's news.
Well, that is news. And
not the kind of news you guys, not the kind of news you're looking for right now.
No, was there okay, let me rephrase. Do the Brewers have a shot at Darvish?
You know, yes. I think I was joking with Tausch on this in the way in, like, no. But, I mean, the answer is actually yes, because I just feel like David Stearns is the kind of GM who will surprise us at various points in his tenure. I think he's already surprised us with a couple of deals. You know, minor one, but I remember getting the call about the Jason Rogers trade and going, wait, what? It was totally outside of the box. So I think he's going to be the guy, the type of GM to kind of surprise along the way. And Darvish would certainly be a surprise. But the little bit I know about you, Darvish, I'd be very shocked if he ends up a Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah, he kind of seems like he enjoys the finer things in life that are more accompanied in L.A. and New York.
Big market.
Yeah. I think he's a guy who wants to be comfortable. I do think that, you know, he's a free agent, so he gets to choose his market. I'm not certain that this would be at the top of his list. But, look, it's a weird winter, and there's going to be a lot of players, really good players, and I would put Yu Darvish in that camp, no matter what happened in the World Series, who are just not, you know, who are going to have to go where they can go. And I think that's why the actual answer, do they have a shot, is yes, because if the Brewers can put together an offer that's compelling, I think you'd consider it.
Yeah, and I would think that he got creative in that offer, maybe an opt-out plan. And maybe it's just, as you said, it's been a weird offseason. Maybe it's just trying to get in first just in case someone buckles a little bit and they just say, hey, man, maybe him and his agents just say, hey, man, we better take this money now. We don't know where this thing's going.
Well, I think that general idea explains a lot about what the Brewers have been doing all winter, because they have been linked to some free agents that on the surface just don't, they would have never been linked to going in. So Lorenzo Cain, the Brewers have tons of outfielders. Why would they be interested in Lorenzo Cain? Mike Moustakas, they have 4 years of control remaining, 31 homer, emerging player in Travis Shaw. Why would they be interested in Mike Moustakas? I think the answer is that this regime just looks at a million different scenarios. And, you know, I think with the rise of analytics, it's not just brainstorming what you think this guy could do and what you think he could do for our team. They now have mechanisms to plug in all these different combinations of players and see what it does, what it says, what the projections say you would get out of it. So, you know, use Lorenzo Cain as an example. Let's say the Brewers sign Cain, then flip some outfielder for a starting pitcher and add that in. Instead of just like theorizing about what that could do for your club, they plug it into their models. So all these GMs, now each team has their own proprietary model. They plug it into the computer and they see what comes out. And I think it's leading around the game. I think this is one of the factors in things slowing down a little bit, is that to me, teams seem to be considering way more options, outside-of-the-box options, than they did before.
Yep.
And I think part of the reason for that is it's not just, you know, it's not just brainstorming and theorizing anymore. They do have some data to go along with it. And it allows them, I think, to consider more options. That's just my own personal theory, and I think it helps explain why the Brewers have just been linked to so many different free agents. And you know, but yet there's been little movement outside of the three guys they picked up.
Well, and Adam, I've been just fascinated with the lack of movement around baseball and how it's changed up right now. It seems to be kind of at a tipping point of where teams are looking at changing the idea of when a guy's athletic prime is. I mean, the model right now, where you're paying dirt for the first 3 years and then you hit arbitration for another three and then you're paying guys for possibly their physical decline.
Yeah.
I know we're far away from 2021 when the new CBA is going to have to come up, but do you think this is where the game is going, or do you think this is more of an anomaly, teams waiting for next year with the three studs of Machado, Kershaw, and Harper?
Well, that's part of it. And look, this is I'm not going to be able to give you a clean answer, because to me, what's happening this offseason, and everybody's looking for the answer, but I think it's more of a perfect storm of a bunch of different factors. Number one is what you mentioned. Next year is a huge free agent class, and I think teams like – I'm certain that when the Brewers did their planning going into, say, when David Stearns took over, this next offseason, 2018-2019, had a big red circle around it, because if they developed well – they would have money to spend. They would be a prime team to be very active in that offseason. Well, now last year, competing down to the very end kind of changed the timeline a little bit. But that offseason, more generally in baseball, next winter's free agent class, I think, is part of it. Part of it is GMs are less, less maybe emotionally driven now than in the past. They are more data-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is – slowing things down a little bit. The other big thing, I think, guys, is all over baseball, fans are buying into the idea of rebuilding. Fans, to me now, get as excited about rebuilding as about winning.
Totally.
And
I hate it.
Yeah. Well, look, but I think that's part of it, too, is that GMs don't feel the pressure from their fan base to make free agent deals to be an 85-win team. They are able to convince their fans that, look, if you're patient with us, we will be a 90-plus win team and go for championships. And I think all of these things are sort of playing into it, and it's making for a – I feel for these free agents. This has always been paying for past performance. That's just the nature of free agency in sports. That hasn't changed. But I just think that, I don't know if you make changes in the next CBA to change the way players are paid perhaps for the first 6 years. But it certainly feels different this winter. And I just think there's a lot of things going into that.
Adam McAlvey, MLB.com, Brewers.com, here on Hot Stove Weekly, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We just talked to one of Craig Counsell's outgetters, and that's Josh Hader.
He's been trained.
I know. And I asked a question to David Stearns last week on the air about Josh's role, and he had said it wouldn't surprise him or whatever, however he put it, that he will do both starting and relieving. Now, it could be fun with words and fun with sentences. You could twist that around a couple of different ways. Your thoughts on that Josh Hader situation where, I'm trying to figure out what he meant by that. And you're obviously not going to go from the bullpen to starting throughout the whole season, but I could see him starting in the bullpen and midseason or later getting moved to the starting rotation. Does that make sense?
Well, or it's even more nebulous than that, is that he's primarily in the bullpen, but when there's good matchups, when there's a need, when you need to give other guys a blow, when there's a string of 20 games in a row with no off days, you start him occasionally.
But would it be a shorter start, though, then?
I think it would be. It would be a three-inning start or something like that. Hmm. I think that, you started this by calling him an out-getter. I just think, in general, Craig Counsell and David Stearns and Matt Arnold and Carl Miller and the others in the front office, they are thinking differently about using pitching. And I'm not trying to say they're the only team doing this, but I think Craig Counsell has been an early adopter in the regular season of using his pitching a little differently. You can't do it like they do in the postseason over the course of 162. You do need, on some level, to have some kind of roles. You need to get innings from your starters in order just to fill the games over 162 in the regular season. But he has been, I thought he was pretty creative with the way he used Josh Hader, especially as Hader got built up and got some experience at the end of last year. And I think the addition of Boone Logan is really critical for this club. Assuming Logan is healthy, that can be your Joey Votto guy. And it frees Josh Hader to be I want to use him in the fifth inning when I think there's a good stretch of batters where I can get two innings out of him, three innings out of him. And I think it frees you to really use Josh Hader in some creative, interesting ways that you have this other lefty out there. And look, Suter might end up being in that bullpen as well. So you could have three lefties out there. Mm. So, I think they're going to resist applying a label, what we think of, starter versus reliever, to Josh Hader all season. I don't think we're going to get the answer any of us want on Josh Hader. I think Counsell is just going to fight us on that all the way, and they're going to use him in some different situations.
I got a couple of different things that I really think this team could use going into next year, and one of them is clarity at what's going to happen at second base. Tim's very sold on the ability of Jonathan VR to give a couple of months to see if he's able to take that job over. Or do you see that being a move where they go outside of the organization? There's a couple of guys, Adam, I know trading in the division is tough, but I think Josh Harrison would look really good at the Brewers' second base spot.
Yeah, and the Pirates are making trades where you look, okay, the Astros had to give up for Gerrit Cole wasn't terrible, didn't hurt them that badly. So if the Pirates are going to make a deal and it won't hurt you that badly, Harrison could make sense. I think Neil Walker is still in play for the Brewers. He was a guy, probably in his heart, he wanted a 4-year deal going into this winter and maybe would take three, and now it's looking you know, I don't know what his offers look like or what his market looks like elsewhere, but it, you haven't heard his name much, at least I haven't. So maybe he's going to end up having to take a shorter term deal. Mm-hmm. And I think he could come down to the Brewers again as well. And look, the possibility exists. I think that it is VR and Sogard. That worked for a time last year. VR had stretches where he was, you know, a useful player, and Sogard had a stretch where he was outstanding. I'd love to have seen what would have happened with Eric Sogard's year had he not turned his ankle. And, you know, was that right around the All-Star break where he kind of went downhill after getting hurt? A platoon there could work because Johnny VR, right-handed, was quite effective in 2016, gave you some pop, and, you know, those two guys could work. To me, the thing about VR is you offered him $23 million in – what, about a year ago this time. I don't know that a terrible year, one bad, terrible season, makes you totally discard that evaluation. In other words, I don't think you're willing to give him $23 million in January, and then by October you're just willing to cast him aside.
Agreed.
There's something in the middle there for Jonathan VR. He is still a young player in terms of major league experience. I know he frustrates people. He does some things on the bases. He does some, the strikeouts are last year were totally out of control. I just think there, if you're patient with him, there could be a payoff there.
Final thing for you, Adam. People ask me about the, you know, what's needed for the Brewers heading into this season. And there's a lot of different answers, but my answer is they're still a bullpen arm short. And I'm a little concerned at the backup plan. I like Corey Knebel, had an outstanding year, the all-star, the whole nine yards. I get it.
Yeah.
But what if, and that to me is a real pivotal point here, can they get a power arm out there, a Swarzak type, to get in that mix with Jefferson, Hader, and Knebel?
Yeah, Swarzak would have looked really good coming back if you were confident that he could repeat the year that he had last year, because he made that bullpen pretty good by pushing everybody else down a spot. And I agree with you. Corey Knebel now is going to have to prove this over a course of a year. He was really, really good and really saved the Brewers last year, replacing Neftali Feliz. That could have been disastrous for that team, losing a closer that you invested in. And Knebel made it pretty seamless.
Is it Jeffress then? If things break camp now, would it be Jeffress if Knebel, say, gets hurt or underproduces?
Well, probably if Jeffers can get back to what he was as a Brewer. I mean, Jacob Barnes is a guy that's, again, in terms of major league experience, he's not a finished product, and he frustrated at times last year as well, but that's a pretty good arm, a power cutter that can be very effective. So those, you know, Taylor Williams, Tim, I mean, he's going to have to prove he's durable. I think he starts in the minor leagues. But I think he's a guy the Brewers are very high on. I don't know if it's a starter or a reliever at this point, but he's a guy I think that could be really exciting at the back end of your bullpen, perhaps by the end of next season. But look, there's room to add, and the good news is there's like 150 players sitting out there waiting to find homes. And many of them are relievers. I know Addison Reed signed, but, you know, the former Cardinals closer is sitting out there. I don't have the list in front of me, but there's still guys to be had. So if they want to add a bullpen arm, an experienced pen arm, those guys are available. And, you know, again, I think I have a very strong sense this rotation is not finished. I think they do. I don't know that it's Darvish or Arrieta, but there's a notable name, in my opinion, coming to this Brewers rotation. And then that pushes everybody down. And if Jimmy Nelson really is ahead of schedule, when I talked to him last week, I mean, I know you guys saw that story, where he's feeling really good about his chances to miss less of the season than perhaps they thought he was going to miss. And there's no date circled or anything like that. But, you know, it's in his view, it sounds like well before the All-Star break. If he's in the mix and Chacin is good and, you know, they get something out of Yovani Gallardo, everybody else kind of gets pushed down. And now maybe Junior Guerra becomes a pen arm for you. There's a power bullpen arm.
That's true.
You know, there's other, you sort of, if you can get someone else at the top and sort of push everybody down, you start to look a little deeper than you were. But I agree with you. They're thin in pitching right now. And I think that's partly a factor of just this offseason moving so slow.
I'm nervous for Yovani. You mentioned his name. I really am. You know what? He's got written all over it. This is assuming they sign a starter. Okay, let's say they sign another starter. Yovani has it written all over him that he's 10 days before camp breaks. Hey, we're going to turn you loose so you can find
a job. Jabba Chamberlain.
Kind of
written all over it, yeah.
Yep.
Well, look, I mean, that's the biz. So from his point of view, he picks the spot that he thinks he can have the best chance to make a club. The analytics like what he did at the end of last year. The velo was back a little bit. That really helps for when he was good. A lot of that was that power fastball curveball combo. And if he can be, you know, more 93-94 than 90-91, he's got a shot. And look, his deal has incentives for bullpen work. And I think they're going to look at him pretty seriously for both.
Yeah, wow.
So he's a guy who could be in the mix.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, Adam, we'll turn you loose here. We'll see you on Sunday at On Deck, all right?
All right, see you guys.
There he is, Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com, our insider joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Great Midwest Bank, committed to personalized common sense lending since 1935. When you're in the market to buy, build, renovate, or refinance, discover the benefits of simply local banking. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com.
Quick break, and we're back on Hot Stove Weekly talking Brewers baseball, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals Hockey Club here on The Fan.
What are the Brewers doing behind the scenes? Which former Brewer is making headlines? It's time for Brewers News and Notes. This is Hot Stove Weekly on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
On our way out here,
oh,
got a
no.
couple
oh,
of...
Oh, no.
Well, I've got two
no,
news and
darn.
Notes.
Oh, no.
I've
the
got
closing
two.
Music is going. No
on
more news
deck
and notes.
Is Sunday.
Yeah, it is. Cool.
That'll be fun. And then number two, Keston Hira. Going to be in big league camp.
Keston Hira ranked third among all major league prospect second basemen, ahead of everyone's favorite Eson Diaz.
This kid might be a hitting machine.
I'm really excited. There's two guys in that minor league system that I'm interested to see where they start. Him and the truth.
Ursig.
Ursig finished last year in the playoffs at AAA. Do they move him back to AA? Mm. Or do they just let him sit right there and get ready?
I would think AAA, I would think.
I was surprised he wasn't one of the guys that they said was going to be in big league camp then.
Yeah, that is a little
bit
surprising.
Because he was in big league camp for a while last year.
And Keston Hira, by the way, their first round pick this past June. Dude hits .440 in a Division I program.
And a pretty good baseball school out there.
Yeah, there's something to that. I think preliminary indications show that was a fine pick. We'll see.
That's where a two-year deal for Neil Walker at second base would be awesome.
Bridge the gap. You got Johnny V, man.
Yep. It's all no.
All right, for Mike Clemens, behind the glass over there for Baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt. My name is Tim Allen. Don't forget, Tim and Tausch in the Morning, Podcast 4, coming to the website when?
Thursday morning.
Check that out. More Jason Kidd talk. He was fired today. Milwaukee Bucks pick and save postgame show after the game tonight and tomorrow morning forward. You guys have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. And remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.